Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, I'm Cindy Sansom Braff, author of Grant Me a Higher Love, How to Go from the Relationship from Hell to One That's Heaven Sent by Scaling the Ladder of Love. That's a big title. It's a big book. Love is a big topic. The music you heard at the beginning of the show is called Eagerly Pleased, Composed with Love by my nephew, Miles Debastian. I'm a woman on a mission, and that mission is to have you and everyone else have the best love life possible in this new millennium. But before this can happen, you're going to have to learn a few new tricks. Joining me tonight, as always, is my co-host and producer, Nicole. Nicole is a beautiful young woman, a writer, a lesbian, and an entrepreneur, not necessarily in that order, and she's here to share her love stories and war stories with us. She's the voice that will make all of us women stop blaming everything on the opposite sex, since Nicole knows women are making some of the same kinds of mistakes in their relationships with each other. Well, hello, Nicole. How is life treating you today?
Oh, life is lovely. And how are you?
Oh, everything is great. I thought tonight we could dedicate our show to my mom. It would be her 90th birthday today. She did pass away, excuse me, 3 years ago, but she would have been 90 today. And if you remember, 3 years ago, I told on our radio show the sort of message from the grave to my dad, so I thought I could remind our audience about it, because you probably even forgot this, too. My dad had died about 3 weeks before my mom's 87th birthday, and she was dying in a hospice care, and that day I went to visit her on her birthday, and, you know, it was just kind of a crammed, you know, bedroom that day. Her friend came to visit her, and she had two of her aides there, and her doctor was there, and I was there. And I had to go downstairs to get some paperwork about my dad's death, and all of a sudden, I just see this framed poem that was a happy birthday poem that my father had probably written for my mother. I don't know when, because it wasn't dated. So he hadn't gone downstairs in about 4 years because they weren't able to really walk down the stairs. So
yes.
I knew it was really old, but it didn't have any dust on it, which I thought was amazing since nobody goes down there. And I brought it up and read it. I mean, I was like, how does this thing have, like, no dust? So I bring it up and read in front of everybody this wonderful birthday poem to my mom. And it felt like a message from my dad from the grave, and everybody was crying. And the doorbell rings. And there's a special delivery for my mom, and I open it, and it seemed that my dad had belonged to this church sort of lotto for like 20 years, and he had never won it. And he won $300, and it came on my mom's 87th birthday. So
that
I said my dad
amazing.
Brought her two gifts from the grave. And, of course, my dad was always the big attention. So here's a room full of people crying and thinking, oh, my God, we can't believe this. So I always like to tell the story that sometimes from the grave, people do give us gifts. And, you
wow.
know, I just thought that was I wasn't even thinking about that until my aunt, who is now 97, sent me an email saying she wrote a little something for my mom and today and lit a candle for her. And it brought back that memory to me. So I just thought I would share that with everybody.
That's
today.
Awesome. And I think it's a fabulous idea to dedicate the show to your mom today.
I know. And it just, you know, you sometimes have to remember what days are, and they kind of make us realize. I mean, it doesn't seem like to me she's been gone 3 years now, or it seems to have gone quickly the years. You know, it just really does. Life just seems to, like, close her eyes and, you know, it's 3 years later. So,
yep.
Again, we do have a lot of listeners tonight. We never screen the first ones. I don't know. Does anybody want to talk to us today? Sometimes nobody wants to talk to us. Oh, I wanted to say one other thing. I was listening to Sirius Radio yesterday, and, you know, they had some call-in shows on Oprah. everybody's stations were going down. And they're going, oh, boy, we've been having technical difficulties here.
Oh, dear Lord, and, no.
And, you know, they're going, oh, I'm getting used to this. So I felt a little bit better about that. It's not just us.
Yeah.
You know,
it happens to them.
It happens to them.
And I mean, actually, Cindy, the caller that wanted to talk to us stopped wanting to talk to us.
Oh, okay. So
everybody's afraid right now. I've got a full switchboard full of people who are too afraid to push the talk button.
Oh, well, then they're going to have to listen to us. Maybe we'll bore them to death and they'll
we're
get encouraged.
Yeah, they're going to press the buttons to go, shut up.
It's true. Well, you know, I'll be sharing that, you know, I have my book sitting here. I've done the last edits, and you always have to just look at it one last time. And I haven't had any minute to do it, so it really is done, which is the book, Why Good People Can't Leave Bad Relationships. And I can't wait.
You know,
for
that's for
just...
a reason, right?
Yeah.
That is so for a reason. You have not had time to touch that book.
Well, you know, it's funny because you have to usually leave like 5 days in between your last edit to look at it. And the universe has made it so I can't look at it for 5 days, even though my
well,
instinct would have been...
Well, that's why, Cindy, because the book is done. You will always, always, always find something to rewrite or change with your work. You will always find something to change. And you know what? It means that it is fine the way that it is. It is done the way that it is. Don't mess with it.
Right. And you know what? It's really probably the truth. What happens is, as a writer, if I read one bad sentence, I can't even stand it. It's not that it's grammatically incorrect. It's just not a strong sentence or a good sentence.
Okay.
You know what I mean? So I just say, I could have said this better. I could have said, and at this point now I'm saying, nope, I can't say it anymore. I mean, Leonardo da Vinci said, 90% is good enough. If you're going to do 100%, you're going to do one piece of art, one piece of something. There's a point where we do have to let things go. And
yep.
move it forward. And, you know, the Amish have this tradition when they make a quilt, they have to leave the last stitch wrong because only God makes perfection. So,
oh, wow, that's so cool.
So it's a good thing to remind us that it is not going to be perfection. I did work very hard on it. It's kind of was an enormous, you know, it was a hard task because I don't think I did it the way that most writers kind of sit there and write books. I had to do 15 minutes here, an hour there. But a book was done finally, but it isn't like really the way that you should do it, but that's my life, so.
Mm-hmm.
And you know that feeling where we can't really just get things done. Now, I don't know if anybody wants to talk to us.
Oh, absolutely, I do.
People do want to talk to us now.
Okay,
good.
See,
okay, good.
We threaten
I'm tired of talking to myself
time,
and you.
Everybody's good. Trying to push in the button, so that's all we had to do was threaten to bore them.
Right, yeah, that's what I thought, you know what I mean? I was like, okay, yeah. We're going to start playing poker here. You know, you and me, we'll have like a little game going.
Exactly. Yeah, well, you know, we'll play the movie game or something. We'll just go back and forth with like movies and titles until somebody wants to talk. So, all right. So now that people want to talk to us, as usual, I do not screen the first caller. We are going to cruise over to the 514 area code. And the last four digits of your number, so that you know we're speaking to you, are 1406. All right? And let's see who's waiting for us there, shall we? Hello, you're on the air.
Hi, Cindy. Hi, Nicole. It's Carol again in Oregon.
Oh, we love
Carol
again
Oregon.
Oregon. I mean, there was nobody wanted to talk to us. We were getting really rejected here. I'm like, boy, they all want to listen, but we need callers. I can't, you know, me and Nicole, like, we had a long day. We don't want to talk to each other. We want to talk to you guys. You know?
Wonderful. Cindy, we spoke just after Christmas, and I'm the 60-year-old woman who had the affair with the married farmer. Are you remembering?
Oh, I remember you, but my listeners may not, so I love that you're filling us in. I do remember, but you can, and I remember you were going to, like, give him a piece of your mind and do what you needed to do.
Well, we haven't had any communication since mid-December, and I got incredible internal pressure and synchronicities, and I ended up telling his wife.
And how did that go?
It actually went very beautifully. We spoke on three occasions for approximately 3 hours altogether, and I'd left my phone number with her saying, I've been reading about affairs, and I understand that the betrayed person really needs to know the details so they can start cross-checking when their intuition was telling, hey, there's a problem here. So I've done that. But in speaking with her, I found out how much he'd been gaming me the last 4 months, September through December. And that gave me the aha I needed, because all sorts of woo-woo stuff went on during this time frame. Headlights blowing, check engine light, a couple of burning smoking plugs in the house that I replaced. Red liquid dripped down my bathroom wall looking like blood. A dead killdeer in the driveway that just seemingly dropped dead in the driveway with no injuries. So lots of woo-woo stuff letting me know that, hey, girlfriend, something's going on. But, of course, until I spoke with her, I
think we've lost you.
No, I'm still here. I haven't touched a thing.
I know. Isn't that woo? We got some more woo-woo stuff.
It sure is.
So we believe the woo-woo stuff is real. Okay, go ahead.
So that's, you're still hearing me, right, Cindy?
Yes.
Okay, and so that's the first part of it. I'm kind of curious how or what manifested all this woo-woo stuff. And then the second part of it, this guy is soulmate level love, and presumably spirit has worked on him to process his stuff so that two soulmates could actually move into that higher love. Else do soulmates sometimes, if they're not that far down the development trail, do they sometimes sacrifice themselves so that the other soulmate can really get that, you know, in a sense, did he serve me by not stepping up, that I'm growing exponentially for having been in this affair?
Thank you. Yes, if you were to read my book, Grant Me a Higher Love, there's the last step is there are lessons to learn in love being brought to us and lessons to learn in it being taken away from us. And I would not have written my book, Grant Me a Higher Love, if I hadn't had a higher love who could not commit to the love or step up to the plate. And I realized that a love of that magnitude could not be brought just to rip my heart out. There had to be some lessons in it. And I spent 15 years learning those lessons and put them in the book, Grant Me a Higher Love. And had I not met this man, had he not lived up to his part of the contract, was probably to meet her, to leave her, and let her learn for humanity. So I do believe that that was part of our contract together, and that in love being taken from us, we learned to heal issues. We learned to heal issues that allowed us to let someone run or not commit to us. We overcome our fear of loving someone who could die on us, because the death of a soulmate love feels like a death. We learn massive, massive lessons. And the way that you could tell it was a soulmate love that ended is when a soulmate love ends, we learn really spiritual, growing, evolving lessons. When it's a lower love, a man to fit a plan, a marriage that was just, you know, my eggs were getting old, we learned some lessons. We learned that there's no you made your bed lying if we married him. We learned that we want more than this. But we don't learn the spiritual lessons as well as we might learn from a higher love that seems to fail us. So I want you to know, yes, you got that thought today. You were asked to ask me, because I'm not so sure how many people could have given you an answer that may have resonated with such truth to you. But the messages that you were talking about, you know, that you were getting, including the check engine car, there is a theory that our cars resonate with what we are feeling. And when I wanted to leave my marriage but was stuck for like 29 years, the last 5 years, like 10 years of it, every car I got, the transmission would break almost instantly in a new car. Because I couldn't move forward. It would be stuck in, like, neutral, because I couldn't move forward and I couldn't move back. I would just go through these transmissions. And, you know, the car would break down or this or that. Now I was thinking today, I've had this car for, like, 5 years, and I've never had one repair, one thing wrong with it. I mean, it's just amazing. So our cars resonate and give us some messages, you know, light bulbs burning and things like that. Of course, an animal dying is a pretty significant thing in front of us, things that look like blood. It was just the universe trying to give you some signs. Look what's going on. You need to end something. This is not good. You need to move it forward. You need to, you know, address the issues. So, yes, mechanical things, animals, nature, signs are everywhere. Life deals in metaphors, and you were just seeing them very clearly. And know that you've learned the right lessons. You should still be mourning for the end of this relationship. It's not easy. He's the one who's not learning the right lessons. He's not learning only love matters. He's not learning there's no you made your bed, lie in it, that you can't have your cake and eat it too, that you end your marriage karmically correct without drama and trauma. You do right by both these women. Maybe he just doesn't have the courage to learn them.
No, he doesn't. And the exchange with her, he tried to make me out into being a stalker who wouldn't stop pestering him. And to me, that was such a profound act of cowardice that it revolted me.
Well, and that's the whole point. And we as a sisterhood of women can't allow this. We talked about that before. Men can't have their cake and eat it too. You know, forgive yourself for allowing it to go on so long. You did take a lot of crap in the name of love, which is very human. But ultimately, you know, you have to take some responsibility for having allowed this for so long. And I do believe it was the level of love you could handle at the time. Now you just want a committed love, correct? Didn't you learn that? I want a man who'll commit. Did you learn that much?
Yes, I do. And I'm overcoming my own commitment phobia.
Thank you, because I always say if a woman or a man is chasing after someone who's not available and they do it for any length of time, it shows that they have closet commitment phobia or they wouldn't tolerate it. And what you've learned is soulmate love without commitment is pain. You want to pray for that soulmate who's ready, willing, and able to love and commit to you and commit to healing. And you want to pray to be a soulmate who could do the same. And you will be granted a higher love. You're not responsible for the ending of this. He is. He probably will never be granted another soulmate. I mean, unless he gets some miraculous change inside of him, this is his last wake-up call through a higher love. He will probably get a wake-up call through a major illness, because which could be even a heart attack or a stroke, because when we walk away from a love because we have cowardice, when we get older, it's a good recipe for just dying of a broken heart. Or literally blowing your brains out with a stroke. You know, it's just what happens. So it's never good to walk away. So many of the men that I talk to who died fairly young of heart attacks will tell me they fell in love with someone else that wasn't their wife, but they couldn't leave her because they sort of believed they made their bed and lie in it. And they felt so guilty to have hurt the love of their life that they just died of broken hearts. So it's not good for our health to live a lie.
I agree.
And ultimately, what we don't bring forth as truth will come forth as illness. So I can't stress enough to people who are staying unhappily married, it's a pretty good recipe for an early death. I mean, unless two son of a bitches are married together forever. My parents had a pretty, you know, toxic love affair. I mean, they stayed together 60 years. I mean, two toxic people can stay together 60 years. But if it's one good person, they really can't, it just doesn't work. Good people get sick when they stay unhappily married. They really do. And I'm not, you know, the man you love was obviously a good person. He just lacks courage.
Yes.
It takes courage to love. It takes courage to heal. And the one thing I'm learning is that human beings are very fearful people. They just lack courage. And we have to muster up courage, do things in spite of fear. And, you know, unfortunately, he may never be able to muster up that courage. And he also is running a prostitute archetype. He doesn't want to divide his money. It's about money.
Yeah, it is.
And you're going to answer to God, anybody who's staying together for money. If you could divorce and have enough money to live in a room, God would say, you can live in a room and you have enough money for food. You can't go to God and say, well, I didn't want to divide my money. Yeah, I had a $500,000 house, but I didn't want to divide it into $250,000. It's not going to work with God.
Mm-hmm.
So in this lifetime, it's probably one of the first ones we're going to really be called hard on our nonsense. So, you know, how are you yourself feeling now?
The energy of love will pour over me. All of a sudden, I just acknowledge the deep love I experience for him. And there's still a part of self that is just so sure he'll be with me. But maybe it's not that he'll be with me in this life. But the hole is huge. And then in the next minute, I'm really angry with him. Really,
good responses.
Really angry.
You have a right to be angry because he didn't step up to the plate. Again, that love you feel. You know, you can pray for the inevitable reunion of your souls in this lifetime, in any other, or in the afterlife. And it's one of those things, you may meet him again. He may have more courage. I believe the man that came to help me came, he was much younger than me. I believe he came to help me in my mission, maybe a little reluctantly onto the earth plane. Maybe he wasn't ready to be born and came to help me and help my mission. And sometimes we have to understand life is pretty mysterious in that vein. But, you know, anger can be a right response. Loving him will be a right response. I would, you know, advise you, remember we talked about, don't try to stop loving him or you're going to go crazy.
Yeah.
Let it be. Just let it be. Send him love on the soul plane. Again, I have objections after a while to loving a man heart, soul, mind, and not with the body. Mm-hmm. That means he or you haven't overcome your fear of loving someone who could die on you, because you're essentially loving a dead man. If you're not loving him with his body, you're loving him as if he's dead already, and you don't need that on the earth plane. You need a flesh and blood man to hug you, hold you, help you, be there for you. So eventually I hope you will make space for that flesh and blood man to come into your life.
I'm just not over this one yet.
Nor will you ever necessarily ever be over him. Mm-hmm. You may always love him, but that doesn't mean, it's almost like loving a dead man. If you had a husband who died, you would still love him. Nobody would tell you to stop loving him, but you would make space to love a living man. And that's what this is equivalent to, because the way you're loving him is not like loving a living man.
Now, any sense of how I can support myself through it, or is just time the healer? And
well, you know, some wounds don't go away. That's what makes us a wounded healer.
Mm-hmm.
So when everybody's, you know, the American thing, take a pill, it'll go away. You know, everything's solved in a half an hour like a television episode. No, wounded healers have a hole in their heart that really never fully closes. And so you don't need to totally, you know, close every wound, leave it open. It helps us be compassionate. Love flows in and out of that hole in our heart. And, you know, just try to eat well, take good care of yourself, come to that place of self-love, work out a little better, sleep a little better, so that it doesn't take its toll on your health.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, read all you can spiritually. And, you know, just gather your strength. It's all you can do. And, you know, take it one day at a time. There'll be good days and there'll be bad days. There's no doubt about it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's, you know, something that you'll say, boy, I was doing so much better yesterday. Well, when we heal, it's sort of a spiral staircase that dips up and down, goes down sometimes and back up. So you'll have your dipping down days. But there's other lessons. I found what I did during that 15 years, which was a pretty agonizing time for me, I would try to find out what lesson I meant to learn in this agony. And there were probably 1,000 lessons that I've learned. So look at what's today's lesson. Sometimes it's endurance that we can endure and that we can persevere. So, you know, try to see if it's not a lesson in endurance. It's not a very pleasant way to learn it, but it is that. Yeah,
and that was a direct experience of learning.
You're right. I said life is a learning trip, you know, trip and tree and up and down. And again, I tried in writing my book, Grant Me a Higher Love, to get people to learn lessons in a record time, maybe in 6 months to a year, what took me 15 years to learn. So I think that's, you know, if we could speed up some of the process, it's a good thing. In lessons learned. So, you know, for you, please call in and let us know how you're doing, and, you know, we'll say prayers for you that you get through this.
Thank you, Cindy. I appreciate that very much.
And call in because you asked some of the best questions anybody ever asks.
Well, thank you. Well, then I won't be hesitant to push one, and you can always say, not today, Carol.
No, but that one was, I mean, I just thought your question, you know, you were so spot on, and your insights so incredible that you just made this show that much better by sharing your experience with us.
Thank you.
Good luck to you, and we'll try to take another caller.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Wasn't she fascinating with her questions and her whole soulmate thing?
Yeah, I was hopping in and out of that. As you can see, I've screened a lot of people in between that. But, yes, I mean, from what I heard, she was very, very interesting.
Okay, so I can see you've done some screenings. You could put whoever you want
through.
I've done
a lot of screening. All right. Well, right now we are going to go to Beth in Long Island, and she's actually a callback, Cindy. She tried to get through to you a couple of weeks ago because she wanted to see if you can connect with her mom, who passed about 20 years ago. And unfortunately, we were having a lot of technical difficulties there. She got disconnected, and you advised her to call back. So tonight is Beth's night, and she was actually able to call us back, and she wants to see if you have anything from her mom.
Okay, good question.
Yeah.
Hello, Beth.
Hi.
You're on the air.
Hi.
Hi, Beth. So I'm glad that you're calling in about your mom today. And
yeah,
when
I called, it was like the beginning of, it was actually the anniversary of her 20th passing. So I just happened to get through, and I think Nicole wasn't available that night. I was like, I'm here.
Oh, I know. And remember, I lost you. But now you're on my mom's birthday. So I think it's good. It's my mom's birthday.
Oh, wow.
So that's close enough to the anniversary of something for your mom. So it's
yeah,
a mom's
yeah.
day. So that's
oh,
a good
cool.
thing. Now,
yeah.
First of all, your mom has guided you quite a lot over the last 20 years. She said you were a very good daughter, by the way. Do you know that you were a good daughter?
No, I wasn't.
Oh, yes, you were.
Not at some point during the
okay,
teenage
you're doing
years.
Okay, during your teen years?
God.
Okay, we don't count
yeah.
teen years. Moms don't count
oh,
teen years. Did you know that? They don't count them. It's funny because all American teens are bad. Unfortunately, your mom died when you were fairly young, so perhaps that's part of the problem that maybe you thought she hadn't forgiven you those instances.
Yeah.
But how old were you when she actually died?
I just turned 30.
Okay.
No,
that's
no,
when,
I was 29.
Okay, that's just when American kids start being good. So, you know, you realize that she knows that you were a good person, that, of course, you tested her. But when you were a little girl, you were very good. She doesn't count the teen years at all, though, you know, you did give her a run for the money, but you were a good daughter. You had a love after your mom died, a relationship, by the way?
Yes.
That didn't work out?
Oh, no. You know, she attended our wedding, and then she died, like, within, like, a couple of months.
Okay, who was the one
married.
Before your marriage that she couldn't stand, the guy?
There may have been a few.
Right. She's glad you didn't marry any of those, I'll tell you right now.
Okay,
over
yeah.
her dead body, would she ever approve of those? I mean, she yeah. was happy to attend your wedding. You have two children now, by the way?
I do, yes.
Because she picked the soul of your oldest child as a gift for you.
Okay.
Is that a good kid?
She's very good, yeah.
Okay, good. The second one she didn't pick, but the second one's going to give you a little run for the teen years, and she's laughing. Because, you know,
yeah.
She's like, yeah, okay. Karma is a bitch. But she didn't pick that
one. He already gives me a run for the money.
Okay.
I think my dad must have picked him.
Yes, you got it. Because your mom said, not that one. I didn't pick that one. It's funny because she's laughing because she said, you can blame that one on your dad. Your mom and dad had some issues in their marriage, by the way.
Because
she loved
well,
him, but she couldn't always change him or fix him.
No, she couldn't.
She accepted him for who he is. It's funny, though, because she's saying, you know, your dad does what he wants. So, you know, your second child is there to teach you, you know, patience and
okay.
that you can't control people. But, you know,
okay.
he has a good heart. But it's funny that your mom says we do watch over the children a lot. Your mom, you know, is remarkably happy to be where she is. I mean, look, if she could be here, she'd be here to help you with your children and be there for you. There's no doubt about that.
Okay.
You know, she'd always be there. She can't be. So she's actually been a very good protector of your children. She makes sure they don't get hurt. She watches over them when they're in cars. She watches over them to make sure they live to tell. So she's been pretty protective from the other side.
And oh, it's funny you should say that, because the oldest one just started driving.
Thank you. And she says,
got her car, and I'm like freaking,
I'm so anxious. Well, that's how I became spiritual. When my daughter started driving, I was like, dear God, I want to put her in the car seat and drive her around for the rest of her life. And I had to believe that there was something greater than myself watching over her. And you have to know your mom is in the back seat with her. Your dad pretty much too, but your dad says, boy, it's not easy watching kids learn how to drive. But he says we tell her to, you know, slow down, be careful. You know, they make sure there's black ice and they're kind of watching over her during this time. So believe me, you need two dead parents when teenagers learn how to drive, because it's their job to keep them alive. So I used to pray when my daughter was first driving, because she was a little bit of an airhead when she was younger. I used to pray, dear God, I don't need any angels. I don't need any spirit guides. I'm in the house. Take all of mine and give them all to her. And I learned to bless her when she left the house and be on my knees when she came in one piece and sit home. And I'd say, thank you, dear God, for bringing her home in one piece. You need to say those prayers.
Oh, I have been. I've been, you know, trying my best with, you know, surrounding the car with white light, surrounding her and, you know, white light before she goes. She's not really spiritual like I am, you know, so I do
and
try
again,
to do that.
She'll learn, and your mom and dad both say we're watching over very carefully. She's got a few friends that drink too much and stuff. Do you know about that?
No, she kind of keeps to herself.
Yeah, because she's kind of getting, it's funny because she's kind of keeping to herself because some of her friends weren't that great. So if you're wondering why she's not with those friends.
Well, she has a boyfriend. I don't know.
He's a good guy.
That's for you.
It helps her to sort of stay, you know, better. But just know that she had to walk away from some friends. Because a lot of parents are wondering, why my kids are not having so much friends? Why they're not doing? Because they're good kids. And they're walking away from the drinking and the drugs and the partying.
Yeah, she's not into that.
Right. So I'm just saying she had to walk away from a few of them.
Okay.
So, you know,
that makes sense. I understand.
So your mom says, you know, we kind of told you, you don't want to do this. Get away from that. Your mom is asking you if you get messages from her.
My sister does more than me. Thank you very much. I would prefer it. I get the messages because I'm the most spiritual out of all of us.
And your mom says she gives them to you.
And my sister's like, well, I don't know. You know, I'm going through spiritual, you know, awareness classes, and, you know, I'm the most out of the three of us. But my sister's the one who smells the smoke. And she'd be like, I smell smoke. And there's nobody smoking, and my sister don't smoke. I don't smoke. You know, she's like, well, what? And that's how she associates it with my mother.
With your mom's
like,
cigarettes. Well, what it is is that you're not actually...
She was a heavy smoker.
You're not actually smelling cigarettes. What they do is, the way that they commune is to do what's called ghosting your brain. They sort of come in into your brain, and there's a part of your brain where smell lies. In other words, the smell of a cigarette. She'll just sort of touch that part of the brain, and your nose thinks that it's smelling.
Right.
So, you know, your mom says, I don't want you to smell cigarettes. I don't think that's very spiritual. Your sister gets a kick out of it. But your mom, says, I wouldn't give you that sign. I think you're missing
them.
She has left a feather for you or two. Have you seen the feathers at all?
I have seen in the past. I have seen a feather.
Okay.
And the red birds.
Right, so the birds, the feathers, those are more spiritual ways of leaving a message. The scent of a cigarette smoke, she says, your sister's not spiritual. I give her the lowest possible denomination kind of message.
So don't envy that one.
Spiritual.
She gives you a more spiritual way of knowing she's around. So,
okay.
You know, who's the alcoholic that died near your mom, by the way?
Her sister.
Right, because her sister's saying hello to you, and her sister, your sister,
her
sister's very funny.
Great.
She's going like this. I'm the one that popped thoughts in your daughter's head. Get away from those drunks. Get away from those girls. She said she heard me loud and clear. So she likes you very much. She said you were very, you know, a very good niece. And, you know, they have fun up there, her and your mom. So
I'm sure they do.
They laugh a lot. There's a couple of dogs up there. Did you lose dogs?
No.
There's dogs running near your aunt. Do you know what dogs they would be?
Yes.
Okay, because your aunt.
She's got
the dogs.
Okay.
Running around her. Do you remember your mother's father, by the way? Your grandpa?
I never met my grandparents, unfortunately.
No, you did. You met your grandpa in spirit. He picked your soul as a gift for your mom. He liked you very much. He said, you're a good girl. And just know that your mom is at peace. She's trying to be happy, by the way. You know, I mean, she does miss everybody. She doesn't miss life, per se. She's been dead too long to still miss it.
She has been,
You know what I mean? They kind of move away from that. Who's Mary, by the way?
Mary could be, well, my middle name's Mary. Mary could be a few different people. There's a couple of Marys.
Okay, because she keeps saying Mary. So know that she watches over you. I think there's a Mary up there with her, too, because there's a Mary up there, and there's a couple of Marys down here. She likes to watch over all the Marys. You will get clear. Anybody who opens a vortex to guidance or spirituality will get clearer messages from those people once they've gotten sort of a reading. So try to see if you don't get some clearer messages yourself from her.
Okay.
And your dad's saying, why didn't you want to hear from me?
Well, his for him, and I think he knows, I think
he
would take a totally different, another call. I'd have to call back.
I know that.
And he'd have to give me another 15 minutes.
I know, he's just saying.
I don't want to take everybody's time.
I know, he's just saying, forgive me. And
I do forgive him, and I've said that out in public.
You can forgive the man, but not all of his actions. They were not all forgivable. So that's something.
No, I said, you know, in my, you know, meditations, and I've said it out loud that I forgive you, because I think forgiveness is a very important thing for the soul.
Right, and you know, your dad is smiling at you. He's thanking me for being able to, you know, say from the grave what he needed to say. And,
yes, that's wonderful.
And you know, he is crying very, very hard. Your father. He had a hard childhood. He made a lot of mistakes. You know, you may find him profoundly different by time you die, because you could live a very long time. And God will ask you if you want to meet him or you don't want to. Everybody's free to say, no, I would rather not meet this person ever again. Your dad's hoping by time you die that you might find that you want to talk to him, because he'll explain a lot of things about his childhood and his life that you may find interesting and healing. So
Is he in a good place, though?
He's in a decent realm. It's not, you know, there's all different realms. It's not, they're not in hell by
any means. No, I know there is.
There's some better realms than others. He's going to be moved up because he said he's sorry. They'll move him up to a much nicer realm almost immediately, by the way.
Okay.
Because he's so sincere in his apologies. Some people say they're sorry from the grave, but I know they're not. That doesn't mean anything to me. He's sincerely sorry. People change when they die. Some people change profoundly for the better. Some don't. Your dad was one of the ones who changed profoundly for the better.
Yeah,
so.
But I have a feeling when it's my time, I'll be higher. But I don't know.
He can come up to visit you. That's what you'll tell him. But I'm not going down. I'm not going anywhere down. Come up to see me. So
yeah,
And stay on your spiritual path. It's really, really important. It helps us with our teenagers and our children. And if you could pass some of that spirituality to your daughter. I mean, my daughter was a very hard teenager. And, again, that helped me become more spiritual. But I began to pack my bookshelves with spiritual books. And she began to steal them and read them. So you might want to put some spiritual books on the shelf.
Well, I'm working on my son. I sent him... He does a crystal, my crystal, just like a crystal prayer. I make him hold a crystal and just do the Our Father. For me, that's my way of protecting him before he goes to school. He's another phone call altogether.
Right, and again, you can always call in again for us because you're on a spiritual path, and I love to be able to. My mission is to teach people how to do it themselves, how to get messages themselves. So I like when people give calls that allow me to, give us that opportunity to. Say things about the afterlife and how you can learn to commune with the dead yourself.
Yeah, I saw some of your things on Facebook. I'll look into it further, what you offer on Long Island. And
the Spiritual Connection Center in Patchogue, and it's on my website.
Mm-hmm.
On the 4th, February 4th and February 11th, February 4th is everything you want to know about life after death and what things the dead have taught me, and then the 11th will be how you can hone your own psychic abilities. So it's both about afterlife, but they're different. Each workshop is a little bit different, and you could sign up for one or both.
That sounds very interesting.
I mean, my workshops are usually pretty funny, by the way. They're funny, they're fun and enlightening. So, and you get to meet some other love-minded people and spiritual-minded people, so it's a good place to make some new friends, too.
People that don't live on Long Island? Are you putting it on like a YouTube type thing?
Yeah, we're going to try to film some of them and do that. Yes, that's what I was telling her yesterday. So we're trying our best to get the message out there, And I'm looking forward to those two workshops. So thank you for even helping me to remind me to tell the people about that, I meant to say that today and say you gave me a message.
Oh, no one made me think of that.
It's a two-way street, isn't it? I wonder if my mom popped that in your head. Don't forget to plug your show. Your workshops. I'm sure it was my mom helping you with
I'm
that.
I'm developing my intuition. I know I'm very intuitive. I'm just trying to develop it.
Exactly, and keep on doing that. Well, thank you. We're going to
try to
get another caller.
Yes, of course. Thank you so much
for sharing your
wonderful
story with us. Bye.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Okay, so now we have Fran on Long Island. So we've got our Long Island callers today. I'm very
happy about that.
I mean, I do send out the constant contact every, Wednesday or Thursday, and I'm glad somebody...
And it's finally paying off.
I mean, sometimes it's like 2 o'clock in the morning and I'm tired.
After all this time, we get like out of state. Finally, our New York people are showing up.
Good, we need that.
Absolutely we do. But all right, Cindy, so we're going to go over to Fran right now. And Fran is on Long Island, and she is a little concerned about some upcoming relationship here, Cindy. So
that she doesn't have one, or she has one that's upcoming or doesn't have one? What is she concerned?
You know what? That is a very, very good question for Fran. I believe she wanted to know if anybody from the past was going to be resurfacing or if there was anybody in the future coming along, if memory serves. But I was in and out of the chat rooms. I spoke to so many people. I have to make sure that it's the right question.
I know.
Upcoming relationship.
Welcome to my world.
You're on the air.
Okay.
Hi, how are you?
Hi, Fran.
I'm sorry, Cindy. I totally botched up your intro, Fran. Tell Cindy what exactly you'd like to know about an upcoming relationship, please.
I discuss anything that she sees in a relationship, whether it be somebody from the past coming back or, because I know it's not good to go back to the past.
Well, I could see. Well, first of all, thank you for saying that.
Oh, look, I didn't get it wrong. I got it right. There we go. I'm happy now.
I got the death card on the past people, so let's close that up. I mean, I'm not saying one isn't going to resurface, but he's not changed. So, he may come into your life, tell you everything you want to hear, and then do his shenanigans again.
Right.
So, you know, you might just have fun, you know, with it.
Should I avoid it altogether, like not even be bothered with it?
Well, if you want a good laugh, I mean, uh-huh. if you could like, you know, give him enough rope and watch him hang himself, that might be fun. But I think you should know which guy this is, too, by the way. You know, I think you had a strong connection at one point.
Yeah.
And you've given him more than one chance. So,
no, well, there really weren't multiple chances, but I never, I guess, made enemies with him in any way.
Right. And so he always thinks he can walk back in.
Right. I mean, he's texted me recently, but
yeah.
I don't know if this is
yeah.
intention or is it just to be friends.
Now, do you need another friend? My theories are if you've been lovers and it didn't work out, the ladder of love is one thing, the ladder of friendship's another. If you still want to be a lover, if there's still that mucky line, it's best to not be friends.
Okay.
Because it just gets messy, and then the universe does not bring us a soulmate because they say, well, you're happy with this sort of one foot in, one foot out booty call, then that's what you're getting. Or this friends with benefits or whatever this thing is. So, you know, you might ask him what's his intention in texting you. Be right there, blunt. And,
right.
You know, and that'll scare him away. He just wants to see if he still has you. You know, if you've moved on. So he's got some commitment issues. Are you aware of that?
Yeah.
And that hasn't changed. That's why you could say, what's your intention, 2 feet in or 2 feet out, all or nothing,
right.
if you still wanted him. But he's not changed at all, not one bit. There is a soulmate card coming in the near future. Are you doing anything to find anybody?
No, not really. I've kind of just been more laid back, just not trying to believe that it'll... If it's going to come, it's going
okay,
to come.
Okay, let's just get rid of that bad theory. It's like saying, I want a job, and I'm just going to sit on my couch, and the job's going to come to me. Or I want a college degree, and I'm just going to sit on my couch and not sign up for class, not go to class, not take my test, not anything, and I'm going to get a college degree. Love is no different. If we say
right.
we want it, the universe expects us to do something about it. I'm not saying online dating. I mean, 1 out of 5 people meet that way. It's not such great odds to me. But get out and meeting new friends, going places where you could, you know, expand your world. And if you don't go out and meet people, it's, you know, the only thing that's going to be is the people from the past because those are the only people that are going to be able to come into that world. So you'll
right.
more than likely go back or just tolerate this guy because, well, this is all that I got. It's the devil I know, and he's kind of here. So anybody who wants love, and, you know, your cards clearly have a soulmate. But, again, I'm not a magician. I can't pull, the rabbit out of the hat. It has to be what the universe has planned for you, but whether you get it or not depends upon what you do. So... You know, it means really saying this year, I mean, just saying, I don't want to spend next Valentine's Day alone. This is my
right.
last Valentine's Day I'm spending alone. And moving your life forward because there is love. This is a year you're supposed to be finding love. I keep seeing him returning, this guy, until, you know, I mean, he'll just be back and forth the rest of your life if you want that. I think you had a pretty strong connection.
And right, at one point, yeah.
How long were you with him?
We were only together a couple of months, but, like, always together. Like, from the minute we met, every day, every night practically, we were always together. It's just, like, we just got really close really quick.
Right. And, well, and what it shows is that's what these, you know, he came close, he knew how to love you, and then he got scared and ran. So he'll do that again because commitment phobics do this yo-yo thing. They think we've forgotten, and good people tend to have very short memories for abuse. He'll come back in record time. It won't be 3 months. In 2 weeks, he'll play up the whole hot and heavy and run. So just warning you that I don't know how many hot and heavy runs you could take, but he would do that again. And it's not that he doesn't miss you. He does. But, you know, And how long have you been sort of not with him now?
Since November.
That's about when they surface. Every 2 or 3 months they come back. They think we forgot. So, again, you would have to say what's your intention if you want to put 2 feet in here and have a real relationship and commit to it. I'm in, but I can't do this back and forth thing.
You know, what do you see new coming in? Like, is there a certain time frame or?
Okay. You got to kind of close up this one, by the way. You know, the universe asks us to close one door before they open another. Because otherwise this guy has the potential to sabotage. There's a soulmate connection here, heart, soul, mind, body. The problem is that he didn't commit to it, so it's not soulmate now. But you'd have to close this.
Well, otherwise, I don't think it's been open, though. Like, I haven't really pursued that in any way.
You're allowing him to text you.
Okay.
And you know what I mean? The universe just sees this as, okay, you're still keeping the door open. You know, they don't bring two soulmates at the same time, which means if this one's going to come back or at least pretend to be a soulmate when he telepathically senses you've moved on,
mm-hmm.
that would really mess it up with the new person.
Right.
And I don't want anything messed up with you, you know what I mean? But it really looks like this year, by the time you get to the end of 2014, you should have a really pretty strong soulmate relationship here. So, again, that depends on you getting out there. How did you meet this guy?
We just met out one night. I don't remember. Just going out.
But you were out. He didn't airdrop into your living room.
No. I didn't go out occasionally.
I mean, I didn't know. Maybe it was the UPS guy. I mean, sometimes God does deliver him right to our doorstep. I mean, it's possible. But, you know, just really committing to the fact that you want love. It's a very good year in general for you here. I don't see any real negatives here. Everything looks good. You just need a little bit of courage. I think you got really hurt with this, so I can understand why you might have felt like you wanted to lay low a little bit. You
mm-hmm.
did need to heal from this. And what was the reason that he stopped seeing you or that you stopped seeing him? What happened?
I found out he was still, I guess, out there looking. Contacting other women.
Right, because, you know, the man's a player. The man has some sex addiction, mind you. Doesn't mean that players can't fall in love. Doesn't mean sex addicts can't fall in love. It just means that they still don't stop with their nonsense.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just saying that, you know, you were brought to try to get him to see the difference between a narcissistic ladder on love, which means any woman's interchangeable another. How about this soulmate's different? I mean, he knows that. It's just that I don't think he can really heal or change. How old is he?
I think a couple of years older than me. I mean, he carries himself very young, I would guess, but, still thinks about party, the constant party mode.
Yeah, and realize that people are too old to be constantly partying.
Yeah.
And it's a little bit immaturity here.
Yeah.
In these cards, and again, you know, he was brought a soulmate love to see if he could step up to the plate. He doesn't appear to be. You know, I'm just seeing that for you, love is coming. Don't give up on it. I think you might have had some commitment issues of your own, and maybe this helped you realize, boy, if you know, I really do want a committed relationship. So, again, don't lick your wounds for a couple of years before you go out there.
Right.
And just believe in it. Your dad has passed away, by the way?
No.
Because there's a loving man that's like a father figure. Do you know who that is?
Not my grandfather.
You know, your grandfather, because this man, you know, he's pretty funny from the grave. Some people are really funny. And what he's saying is, I can't believe these men get a woman like you and they run. What are these men made of? He has no comprehension that a man would do this. The older men from the past, really, maybe they committed too soon almost. If you watch the movies in the 1940s, people, like, they met and a week later they're married. I mean, maybe that was way
right.
too fast. But he has no concept. He can't understand why this man ran like that. So,
right.
you know that, you know, your grandpa wants you to love yourself the way he loves you. If a man did this to, you know, to a daughter of yours or someone you loved, wouldn't you be mad about his behavior?
Of course.
And, you know, he could have brought you venereal disease. It's not a joke here. So
yeah.
how can you want him for a friend? Friends don't bring us venereal disease. You know, that's
right.
friends don't betray us. Friends don't lie to us and deceive us. So how could you even want to think about him as a friend?
Because I guess I was always taught that you're supposed to forgive and never hold grudges.
Okay, thank you. My new book, Why Good People Can't Leave Bad Relationships, one of those we forgive too easily and too often without doing the steps of forgiveness. Forgiveness means you make amends to me. Forgiveness means you know you made a mistake. You don't do it again. This man will do it again and again and again. Forgiveness does not mean reconciliation, by the way. You can forgive the man, not his actions, but that doesn't mean you have to let him in your life. And that's
right.
how these people take advantage of us. We forgive them, and they keep coming back and doing the same nonsense. And
right. I mean, I thought we would develop a friendship, but, you know, I guess that is.
You want
like
to? How are you going to have a friendship with a man that you had an intimate relationship, and you're going to hear about his intimate relationships with other people?
Right.
I mean, it's one of those things to realize that, you know, people, friends are honest to us. Friends are people we can trust, and you know, good people are just too profoundly good. They're loyal to a fault, loyal to people who don't deserve our loyalty. Again, if, you know, do you have a daughter, by the way?
Yeah.
If someone did this to your daughter, would you want her to be friends with him?
Oh, no. No, I agree.
Okay. You see, isn't it clear with older souls, if anybody hurts their kids, they're like mother hens. Do you know what I mean? Like, nobody would do this to my daughter. But we turn the other cheek. It's okay. Hit me again. Come back and hit me again. And it's just getting your eyes open that certain people are not fixable. This man is not fixable. He's narcissistic, manipulative. He's pretty judgmental on top of it. You're not going to change him or fix him. I'm just warning you because he looks like he's going to really surface probably very strong in the next couple of days. And
really?
Again, you could say, what's your intention? You can give up all the girls? You can get up online? You can stop being online? You know, ask him, so really, you want me and only me? Come on. You know, call him on it. Women have to learn to call. The men are calling all the shots. This is the master of worse over women. They're still
right.
having their cake and eat it too. They lure us in. They love us and run and then come back and think we should still be with them. So,
right.
I mean, women are tolerating this. They're so numb to it. They don't even see how bad it is.
Right.
You know, I mean, I'm just here to get people's blinders off and realize, you know, how wrong these behaviors are. I'm a very liberal person. If that guy wants to sleep with 600 women and dogs, cats, I don't care what he wants to do. Just tell people what you're doing. It's the cake and eat it too that I object to. Someone who thinks they're in an exclusive relationship. Don't be with a person who wants an exclusive relationship. There's plenty of people that want to play around. Go play with the 600
right.
that want to play around. Stay away from the people that don't want it.
Right,
that's my objection. You know what I'm saying? And if you go back with him, just, you know, really expect a nice case of a gift that goes on giving, herpes or HIV. I mean, the man is highly promiscuous. Did he practice
yeah.
safe sex with? Did he practice safe sex with you?
Most of the time, yeah.
Most of the time.
You know, yeah. But
okay.
I also didn't know about his ways to, like, took me a while to figure it out.
Okay, so he doesn't practice safe sex with people who don't make him practice safe sex. I'll tell you that much.
Right.
So
okay.
that's one of those things. If you do sleep with him, practice safe sex.
Right.
You know, I just don't want you to get a gift, you know, that you just don't want to have.
Know.
You know what I mean?
Right.
You know, one of those kind of things.
Right. Right.
You know. Well, thank you for calling in. We're just about the end
you
of
know.
Our show. Call in and let us know when love manifests, Fran, because I really believe you will should have it in the next few months. So, if
okay,
you get out there,
so
good luck
okay.
to you.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye. Bye.
Now, Nicole, do you have anything to say here?
Do I have anything to say?
Mm-hmm.
About what, Cindy? Exactly.
About my lecture on practice safe sex. I mean, it's one of those things.
You know what? I was going to jump in on that, because, I mean, I'm sure that everybody was expecting me to jump in on that, but you were doing such a good job of like, dancing and then, like, coming right at somebody and then dancing more and then coming right at somebody. I was like, oh, look, she's doing good tonight. So I left her
alone.
I just
have to, like, get people to realize, you know, you're too good in a world where people are really bad, bad, bad. So,
my
you know.
God, you have no idea.
And my mission now is good people should be with good people, and the bad
yep.
people who never learn anything should go together. Okay,
yep.
I don't like the bad with the good, you know, because the good take all the crap.
Let them wreak misery on each other.
Right. I mean, they deserve each other. Let them lie, cheat, steal, beat each other up, be mean. Let them all play together. They like that game. Let the good people gravitate to the good people.
Exactly. But the problem is that good people have to manifest good people.
Well, that's they have to have less tolerance
yeah.
for abuse. No excuses for abuse is my mantra for today. No excuses for abuse. I don't care what your mommy and daddy did, knock it off. We don't care what anybody did, knock it off. Well, I'm glad that we had our show today. I did do another radio show right before this one in Colorado, mind you, in a ski resort town. Yep. So this is my second show in a row. And that was very good. They had a massive, massive snowstorm, so they had a few technical difficulties too. So it's not just our show.
No, it's everybody's show. I mean, I can't even tell you how many times I got kicked off tonight alone.
Yeah,
it
said
we
weren't
on. You guys were still on, you know. You guys were definitely still on. It was just that I was getting kicked off. So whatchamacallit. So unfortunately, you know, I kept having to call back. I called back like 3 or 4 times. So,
oh, because what mine said is that you're not on the air anymore.
No. You guys were on the air. You guys were on the air because you know, it tells you that that the show is still in progress when I call back in.
Oh, okay, because it said to me you're not on the air anymore.
What it says is... Actually, what the box says is that the host is not on the air anymore, and it asks you if you want to end the show right then and there. So, but what I usually do is I just call in, and then I'm like, yep, continue, and then it lets me continue. See, Blog Talk knows that that's screwed up. Otherwise, there would not be a continue button on that thing. If you think about it.
Wow.
Anyway, Cindy, as always, you did
have
a wonderful
nice evening
tonight.
And go to sleep because I know you get up 5:30 in the morning to work out and go to work. So get to sleep.
Well, you know what, Cindy, and you need some sleep too because you work entirely too hard, my friend. All right, so you go have a lovely,
amen.
Lovely night with that husband of yours, and I will talk to you soon.
Okay, bye.